Esther Perik Hey Pasuk Yud Aleph. So Haman, who is enraged at Mordechai's refusal to show him the respect to which he feels he is entitled, has gathered his Ohavim, which may or may not be true friends, and Zeresh, his wife, Vayisaper Lohem Haman, and Haman immediately starts orating to the assembled multitudes, and he told them, as Kvod Ashro, all about the honor of his wealth, the glory of his wealth, which is the number one thing a man can be proud of, is how much money he's got in the bank. Virov Banov, and the large number of sons. Why does he have to tell Zeresh about the large number of sons? Zeresh birthed the sons. She knows exactly how many sons he has. So he's talking about all of his good fortune and everything that he is, but he's also mansplaining to Zeresh. You can imagine Zeresh being a little bit steamed about this. Or just ignoring it. Oh, there he goes again. Ve'is kasher gidlo hamelech. So his wealth, his family, and now he's bragging about his political prowess. Everything that the king had promoted him and raised him up. Ve'is asher nis'o al hasorim bi'avdei hamelech. And the fact that he had advanced him above the officials and all of the royal servants. Look at me, look at me. True success means not having to brag about it. But Haman doesn't know that. And so Haman now is bragging like crazy to everybody around them. But Vayomer Haman, it's so dramatic and so perfect for every word. And Haman then tells them in Yudbeis, Aflo Hevia Esther Amalkoim Amelech Elam Eshter Asher Asasa. And you know who else? Who Esther didn't invite? She gave a feast, and she didn't have anybody at the feast with the king? Ki M.O.C. except me. What a way to go all the way around to make your point, bury the lead. Yeah, Esther made a party, Esther made a feast. It's so important that nobody even knew about it. And she didn't have anybody at the feast except the king and me. I am on the rise. I can't be stopped. Ki M.O.C. Only me. A more suspicious person would wonder why that was. Of course, he is the whole point of the party. But he doesn't know that. And if he did know that, he would just be proud of it. V'gam l'machar ani karu la'im ha-melech. And also tomorrow, again, I am invited by her along with the king. Another tea party with the queen. Isn't this great? There is a scene in a movie called The Queen with Helen Mirren. I can't remember his name, as Tony Blair. And it's about the Princess Diana crisis, where the queen misunderstood the rage and sorrow of the people over the beautiful Princess Diana dying in a car accident. Tony Blair, the new prime minister, going to talk with her. And there's a scene. It's the main scene I remember from the movie. He's talking to his wife, and she's like, "You're such a fanboy. You're here to be a progressive liberal counterbalance to the throne, but as soon as she invites you, all of a sudden you're all a Twitter, like you can't believe it, you're going to see the queen." And it's a beautiful idea of Zeresh and Haman, not to call Tony Blair Haman, but to say that this is the impact that it can have to be invited to the queen, the king. Wow. But the ultimate statement of Amalek, of Hamas, of Hitler, of all of them. V'chol zeh einenu shoveh li. But all of this is worthless to me. All of my success, all of my sons, all of my money, all of this means nothing to me. Why? B'chol eis asher ani ro'eh es Mordechai ha-Yudi yoshev b'shar ha-melech. Every second that I can see Mordechai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Not Mordechai the Jew refusing to bow down to me. Of course, that's it. Not Mordechai the Jew because he is giving the king advice that is going to be bad for me. No. If I see Mordechai the Jew sitting safely in the gate, none of it is worth anything to me. This is ultimately what anti-Semitism is. At its core, every second that I have to see Mordechai HaYehudi, none of it means anything to me. Nothing. The insecurity is staggering. The anger, the rage is bottomless. and not rational. You've got everything anybody, any politician could ever want. Why are you so mad about one Jew? He's not even getting all the other Jews to not do the bowing. It's just him. Staggering. The insight into Haman's character, the bad guys in Nach are often even more interesting than the great tzaddikim. In the way that we get an insight into their character and into their thought patterns. And all he had to do was speak, and he let it all out so that we can see who Haman is. Yadalad v'atomer lo zeresh ishto v'cholo havav. So Zeresh, his wife, so the fact that she's his wife, that's a big part of it. And all of his beloveds, all of his advisors, all of his toadies, all of his minions, all of them just want to say the kind of thing that Haman wants to hear. His arrogance and his insecurity are partners, and they feed on that. Yasu eitz gavoa chamishim amo. Knowing Haman's Napoleon complex, make a giant gallows, eitz, technically a tree, but we all know what we're talking about here. Make a giant gallows. Now, Zeresh is saying this, and the Oavim are saying this, because no Jew has ever been saved from a gallows. The Medrash talks about this. Other Mefarshim, Daniel was saved from lions, and Avraham Avinu was saved from fire, and David HaMelech was saved from a great warrior Goliath. Nobody's ever saved from hanging, so let's try this one. Make a giant gallows, 50 amos high, gavoa chamishim amos, 100 feet into the air, taller than a house in Brooklyn. Put it all the way up there. Uvaboker amor lamelech, and in the morning, tell the king. In the morning, tell the king. That's before the next party. So you're going to have a great time at the party. V'yisluas Mordechai olav. And the king will instantly hang Mordechai on the giant gallows that you put in your front yard. Uvoim ha-melech la-meshtes sameach. And then you can go to the party, to the feast, in good spirits. The death of Mordechai will make you happy. He couldn't find a 50-foot beam or a 100-foot beam. One of the Midrashim says that he got a beam of wood from the remains of the Teva from Noach, which was the requisite size, which would be wild. Vayitav hadavor lifnei Haman, and this suggestion made Haman very happy. It pleased him very much. Vayas ha'etz, and he had to pay overtime because he had to make it that night, that evening. And he had to pay them to put it up immediately, so it would be up tall, ready to go. So this is an amazing thing. Hang Mordechai, put him on a giant gallows between 75 and 100 feet tall, visible outside Haman's courtyard, the Ibn Ezra says. Malbim says, to show that it's a punishment for anyone who disrespects Haman. So it would be an act of respect to Haman to put up the gallows, that if you do anything against Haman. So this is everything that Haman desires. And on top of that, the Napoleon complex thing about height, about rising up in every metaphorical and physical way possible. And yet we're going to see that when he falls, he's going to fall very low, including physically on the ground in front of Esther's couch. So we see that height is very important. Highs and lows are very important. Feasts are very important. Everything Haman does is wrong. Everything he has chosen was the mistake. He has no idea what's coming to get him. We're at the midpoint of the Megillah, and at this moment, something very dramatic happens for the second half.